Hello, welcome to the programme. Several portfolios were created in this current European Commission to reflect the EU's changing priorities. One of those is a new commissioner for the Mediterranean. It's obviously a crucial region for the EU as the bloc grapples with difficult issues such as migration and energy independence. Despite its obvious focus on Ukraine, the EU wants to pursue this southern pivot by signing a pact for the Mediterranean with Middle Eastern and North African countries. Our guest is the EU's Commissioner for the Mediterranean, Dubravka Suidža. She is a Croatian politician from the centre-right, and she held the Democracy and Demography portfolio in the first von der Leyen Commission from 2019 to 2024. She's also been a member of the European Parliament. Commissioner, welcome to Talking Europe.
Thank you for having me.
You had a very busy time at the UN General Assembly. There was obviously a lot of focus on the EU's help to the Palestinians. Let's talk a little bit first about this donor group for the Palestinians that was announced. Who do you actually want to be part of this group? Who do you expect to join? And when do you think contributions will actually start to be made?
We are looking forward to establish this group because we think it is important to invite everyone on board to help Palestine. We need to be prepared for reconstruction of Gaza, but at the same time we need to be to help people at this moment.
So you don't have a clear timeline right now about the donor group?
We are sure that we will establish it by the end of this year. So we will invite everyone. At this moment, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is interested, so we will somehow co-chair this donor group. But this is the moment to invite everyone in the world to help reconstruct Gaza and to help think about, to anticipate the situation after the ceasefire.
There was this division within the EU that was obvious at the UN General Assembly, with more member states recognizing a Palestinian state, other EU members declining to do that. Is that a problem for the EU's credibility?
Let me tell you, I think that this year and this General Assembly showed a big step forward, because more than 160 countries recognized Palestine. And I'm sure that this somehow created new momentum, regardless of some divisions which you mentioned. Within EU, we will see in the next Foreign Affairs Council, which will be held in Luxembourg, we will see what is the situation among member states. I think that we are still not united, but it goes in the right direction, according to my opinion, especially now after we have this 20 or 21 point plan, which was offered by President Trump to both Israel and Palestine.
The EU spent a long time vacillating on what to do with the EU-Israel trade agreement. Do you think that is going to be a problem for the Arab countries, which obviously wanted the EU to go much further? These are the same Arab countries that you now want to bring into this new pact for the Mediterranean.
There are also differences among and between Arab countries and in their relation towards Israel. All of them have different grade or stage of relations toward Israel. I don't think this will change the situation much. You know that in this Mediterranean portfolio, it's not only North Africa and Middle East, but it's also Gulf countries. They are very important. Without them, we cannot achieve peace and security in the region, and we badly need all Gulf countries on board. I think they are very important, but they cannot do this alone. Europe cannot do this alone. We also need all international community and the United States administration.
The pact for the Mediterranean has not been officially presented yet, but already some critics have said that this is really about the EU safeguarding its own interest, especially when it comes to migration and security, to keep migration in check. What would you say to those sorts of accusations?
I haven't heard these accusations, but okay. So it's for the benefit of both sides of the Mediterranean, North and South, and also Middle East, because we think that there is a lot of potential in the Mediterranean, and we want to keep this Mediterranean area developed, clean, and not polluted. It's about everything. It's about environment. It's about trade. It's about development. It's about education. It's not only about migration. Migration is only one of the points within our strategic partnership agreements.
But you do say that there's a problem of skills shortages in the EU, so you need skilled labor from the North African countries, which is going to benefit the EU. Some would say not so much the North African countries.
You know what, I'm also in charge of demography, so we don't want to create brain drain in these countries. We don't want to take all their doctors, all engineers, all intellectual elite. No, this is not the case. In the Pact for the Mediterranean, which will be revealed in 2 weeks, we put people at the center. So the first pillar of our pact is people at the center. It's about young people, it's about vocational training, it's about skills. Then we have a second pillar, which is about economy and investment, and the third pillar, which is about security and prosperity, and also, of course, about migration. But what is very important is to connect people in this region. Young people, students, researchers can help us a lot in order to connect people of the Mediterranean. This is exactly why I would like to establish Mediterranean University, be it in Beirut, Alexandria, Fes, Barcelona, so in order to make young people move around. So Erasmus is there, Horizon program is there. So this is there is much to do there.
Tunisia is obviously an important partner for the EU, and you recently conducted a mission to Tunisia. Human rights groups have said that the way the EU has approached the human rights abuses in Tunisia is not in line with the EU's values. I just want to, do you consider Tunisia to be a safe country at the moment when it comes to asylum seekers and making their applications?
Of course, there is a space for improvement, definitely, but Tunisia is our close neighbor, closest neighbor to Italy, for example, so we need all these countries on board. So we are monitoring the state of human rights, of democracy, rule of law, but at the same time, there is a question from my side. If we are not there, who will be there? So I'm totally open to you. We don't want other players, be it Russia, be it China. We want to be there as European Union.
But you think some of the agreements should be reviewed so that there's more transparency on what happens with asylum seekers, for example, in Tunisia?
We always insist on transparency. We insist on registering migrants, which is not the case at the moment. So this is something where we are working with them, not only me, but also my colleague, Commissioner Brunner. So I think there is a space for improvement, but at the same time, we need our neighbors and we want them to be on board.
Let's talk a bit about these demographic issues which are in your portfolio, because you talk about a demography toolbox to help close the fertility gap. Just explain that a little bit for us.
When we mention fertility and fertility rates, it's member state competence. It's not competence of the European Union. But we are trying to create environment for families to thrive and to have housing, to have jobs, and to thrive, as I said, in order to eventually have more kids. But this is a very, very serious situation in Europe, not only Europe, but also in other continents. When we look at Mediterranean, southern Mediterranean, we have boom, and in Europe we have shrinkage, and this is we have to put this somehow in balance. This is exactly why we are speaking about people at the center, why we want to have a vocational training for people from that part of the world, but at the same time we have to help European families. We have also to change some laws here in Europe, because all our laws and regulations are somehow adapted to those who are 65 or 70. But nowadays, since we live 10 years more in the last 50 years, we have to somehow adapt the legislation to those who are 80, 90, or even 100 years old, as you know. So this is where we are trying to recommend member states to follow this and to change also pension age. Because since we live more, we have to work more. Although this is not very popular to say being politician, but this is something what we have to take into account.
Just to pick up on what you said, sort of related to the family-friendly policies and so on, if we look at the countries which have implemented policies that are the most reflective of, you know, progressive feminist agendas like Sweden, Finland and so forth. It's the countries which have actually had the biggest drop in fertility. So I just wonder what you make of all that.
Of course, it's not easy, and I need experts and sociologists to say what is the case. But it is true that women decide to have kids later in the life, and so their reproductive age is shorter. But you have also to know, since we speak of on demography from the angle of competitiveness, at this moment there are 8 million Europeans. Women who are not in the labor market, not because they don't have their diploma, their CVs, but because they have to take care about their kids, about their parents. So this is exactly why we need more kindergartens, nursery homes, and so on. We also need to adapt our diplomas and education to the needs of the labor market, which is the digital green jobs and so on. And we need older people to stay longer in work. This is also something. And when we use all these three categories, women in all women in the labor market, all youngsters in labor market, older people work longer, we still lack people in the labor market, and we need legal pathways for legal migrants. This is not popular to say nowadays, but we have to be open, and we cannot close our eyes because the situation is as it is.
We'll have to leave it there. We've come to the end of our time. But thank you so much for being on Talking Europe, Commissioner. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dubravka Šuica talking to me here on Talking Europe. Do stay with us.